Our scripture reading today is taken from the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 2. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. Jesus was passively and actively busy throughout his whole life fulfilling the law. And this event was in the process of Mary and Joseph bringing Jesus to fulfill a portion of the law. Our interest is not that fulfillment of the law. Our interest is in this man, Simeon. Occasionally in the Bible, somebody's name appears and they do something and we often don't remember. For instance, just last night, I mentioned Malheur Shalal Hashbaz to some people and they wondered whether I'd made up the name. No, I didn't make up the name. It's actually in Isaiah chapter 8. But if I had told you that Simeon was mentioned in Luke 2, you might remember the shepherds, you might remember the angel coming in Luke 2, but you might not remember Simeon. But the description of Simeon is very, very interesting. He is a resident of Jerusalem, and he's waiting for the consolation of Israel, and he's just and devout. That's a mouthful. He is just and devout. I don't know that I would ever describe anybody I know as just and devout, but if the Holy Spirit says he's just and devout, I guess that's kind of important. The Holy Spirit, by the author Luke, is saying this man is just and he's devout. What does that tell you? Well, first of all, it tells you that he is a Hebrew and he's familiar with the Old Testament. And to the best of his ability, he does all that is required in the Old Testament. And he's so familiar with the Old Testament that he is waiting for the consolation of Israel. The consolation of Israel, again, according to the Old Testament, is the Messiah. That is who is the consolation of Israel. So this individual is waiting for the Messiah. And furthermore, the Holy Spirit is upon him. And we know from the scriptures that there is a period of time when prophecy and the Spirit of God were not active in Israel. Some of the prophets that were active after the exile, Haggai, Zechariah, at some point prophecy ceased. And there's about 400 years before the Spirit of God begins to move. And here, in the advent of Christ, the Spirit of God moved in Zechariah. And here he is moving in this man, Simeon. And then we have John the Baptist, who is the last Old Testament prophet. And then Jesus Christ, who does all that he does in the Spirit. Everything Christ does, he does because the Spirit enables him and it leads him. And this man, Simeon, is one who has the Holy Spirit on him. And the Holy Spirit reveals to him something. What does he reveal? He reveals that he will not die until he sees the Lord Christ. What a guarantee. Wow, what an amazing thing that would be. What would you think if God opened your eyes so that you would know that you would not die until Christ came again? That's basically something similar to what happens with Simeon. That he is told that he will not die until he sees this consolation of Israel, this one who is anointed by God to be the Lord's Christ. So how does Simeon understand this? If you are familiar with the Old Testament, you know that in Daniel has a vision, and the vision includes something called Daniel's 70 weeks. And if you do the math of Daniel's 70 weeks, you can approximate the coming of Jesus Christ the first time. And God gave this vision to Daniel, and Daniel was given this, and then he's told to close up the vision, and it's to be opened up later. Now is the time that it's being opened up during this first Advent. And if Simeon, being devout and just, he is probably familiar with the Old Testament prophet Daniel. And if he's a mathematician, he can do the math. And he's waiting for the consolation of Israel. And he's prepared. And when he sees the consolation of Israel, it will be a notice to him that he's going to die soon. So what happens? He comes by the Spirit into the temple. And Mary and Joseph come and they bring the baby. Remember, the baby is approximately 8 days old. So he's in arms. And the baby comes in. And Simeon goes up and he takes the baby in his arms and he blesses God. Now, with all this information, don't you wonder what he's going to do? We're told, but just consider, you're observing. You see this man takes this baby. What's this man going to do? What's he going to say? The first thing he says is, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace." He's anticipating his death. I am now seeing this promised one, and now I am going to depart in peace. Dying in peace is an interesting subject in the scriptures. We learn in the book of Hebrews that Christ died and destroyed him who had the power of death, that is the devil, that we who are in bondage may be released. How do you die in peace? We are told that death is the last enemy. If you read 1 Corinthians 15, you'll read, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law." How does this man, Simeon, then say, "I am prepared to depart in peace"? He understands who this baby is. He understands all those Old Testament prophecies that foretold the coming of this child. And he is prepared then by sight and faith. See, this is a baby. And so by sight, he knows that the baby is God's consolation. But by faith, this baby has yet to grow up and become an adult and do something. But Simeon understands that this is the one for whom he is waiting. And God is a faithful God. See what he says? According to your word. Would that all of us would be as confident as this man. Just think for a minute. How well do you know the promises of the second return of Christ? Are you, as this man did, he was looking forward to the first advent, and he was looking forward to the consolation of Israel. Are you looking forward to the consummation of creation? Are you looking forward to being no longer a pilgrim, but a citizen? How well do you know the information that God has given us concerning the second coming of Christ? See, we're 2,000 years past the first advent. We read this as history. And if we want to understand a little bit about Simeon, we have to put ourselves back there. But we can understand it a bit here because God has given us information concerning the second advent. So when we read this and Simeon says, I now can depart in peace according to your word. Are you prepared to depart in peace? Are you prepared because you know God's word? Simeon did. He knew God's word. And so he's prepared to depart in peace. He's not holding on to this life. He's looking at this babe who is the consolation of Israel. He's looking at this babe who is going to be the fulfillment of all of those promises that he's familiar with from the Old Testament. You and I, we do this periodically. We take the Lord's Supper. Do you know what the Lord's Supper is according to what Paul says in Corinthians? The Lord's Supper is a public sermon. Paul says in 1 Corinthians that we declare the Lord's death until he comes. So as a body of believers, when we take the Lord's Supper, we are proclaiming that Christ came and he died, and that we are also proclaiming, because we do it continually, that he's coming again. That's the purpose of the Lord's Supper. It's a public sermon to the world that we believe that Christ died and that he's coming again. So we are able to enter into this event that Simeon had from looking back and looking forward. Now, what motivates this attitude regarding death? First, it's he has God's word. Secondly, he has seen God's salvation. He has seen God's salvation. Now, you are to be commended, okay? Because you believe that Jesus Christ died and you have not seen him. Okay, Jesus, remember Thomas came and he wanted to stick his fingers into the wounds and Jesus says, well, here they are. And Thomas says, my Lord, my God. And Jesus says, you believe because you see. Blessed are those who believe who do not see. That would be you and me. And Peter writes, he says, that even though you do not see him, you love him. And you will see him later. But you love him now, even though you don't see him. Simeon had the privilege of seeing the Lord's salvation in this approximately 8-day-old infant. And this child, Simeon acknowledges, that you have prepared before the face of all peoples. This has been a preparation for centuries. Do you remember the Abrahamic covenant? in Genesis chapter 12, in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. And Paul says in Galatians that the seed is not plural, it's singular, that is, it's Christ. And Simeon now is seeing this fulfillment, holding this eight-day-old baby in his hands and saying, you've prepared before the face of all the earth your salvation. It's been a preparation, actually, from the garden, since the Garden of Eden. And God has prepared for this through the centuries, and now this one is born, and Simeon acknowledges that I now see your salvation. Not only is what Simeon sees, but this salvation is a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. I may be wrong, but I think all of us in this room are Gentiles. We need to fully appreciate what's being said here. If you were in the first century, well, actually, you can go to an Orthodox synagogue in New York and get the same attitude. But the idea is, for the Jews, that you can only come to God by being a Jew. And this was the great controversy in the book of Galatians and periodically in the early church. No, it is a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. What is that revelation? The revelation is that all men and women are welcome in the kingdom of God. All men and women, being created in the image and likeness of God, are his image by creation, and then we are invited to come and be recreated so that we are in the image of Christ. This is a revelation. And you and I are privy to that. We look at it as an event that has taken place. Simeon looked at it as an event that was future. We have an advantage over Simeon. Do you have the faith of Simeon? We have an advantage, but do we possess in ourselves that faith that he had, understanding the person and nature of Christ and what he was to do? And he's not done yet. And the glory of your people Israel. Jesus was a Jew. He fulfilled the Hebrew law that God gave to the Jews. He was of the tribe of Judah, therefore a descendant of David. And because he is our high priest, if you read the book of Hebrews, the priesthood was from the tribe of Levi, but Jesus was not from the tribe of Levi, so how is he a priest? He is a priest because he is of the order of Melchizedek. And you have to go all the way back to Genesis to understand that with Abraham and Melchizedek. But it's all due to the glory of Israel. It's because of Israel that the Old Testament was preserved. It's because of Israel that Jesus Christ was born of a woman, born under the law. It's because of Israel that we have anything concerning our understanding of what God has done from creation to now. We are beneficiaries. So we have to ask ourselves, I think, a couple things from this passage of Scripture. Number one, do we have the same anticipation for the second coming that Simeon had for the first? Do we understand what God has said about the second coming as Simeon understood what God had said about the first? Do we understand by faith all that Christ is and what he has done? He has changed everything. He has opened the doors of salvation to all men. We no longer have to go to Jerusalem to hear the truth. We only have to go to God's word. Do we understand this? And how about the operation of the Holy Spirit? In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came and he went. If you remember, Saul received God's Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit of God left him and God sent an evil spirit. That can't happen to you and me. Because when we become children of God, we have the indwelling spirit who indwells us. And he indwells us so that we become a member of the family of God. The spirit was active in the life of Simeon, but not active in his life as he is active in ours. Simeon did not have the indwelling spirit. You and I do. So when we read this, we're reading something about an event that was on the cusp between the anticipation of the first advent and the consequences of the first advent. And as we read this, we need to comprehend that this man is doing everything that a man only in the Old Testament can do. And that we have an advantage. We have greater advantage than he does. So when we read this, we need to give thanks, not only for what's revealed in this man's life and for the coming of Christ, but we need to give thanks for what God has done as a result in us. So as we live on the cusp of the new year, my hope is that you, A, understand what God has written concerning his second coming, and B, that you anticipate the second coming with great enthusiasm. I didn't pick for a hymn to close because I didn't think anybody would know it, but there was a hymn that we used to sing as children, and it's "Marvelous Message I Bring, Glorious Carol of the King, Jesus is Coming Again." And It repeats. The second coming needs to be part of our anticipation. It needs to be part of our daily life. It needs to be part of everything we understand about why Christ came and what he's accomplishing in us. It's not just about this life. It is about eternity. And as we live on the cusp of 2020, Christ may come in 2020. Christ may come, and when he does, the church will be lifted and we will be with him forever. He may not come in 2020, but I may not be here next year. I might die. So the question is, do I look forward to departing in peace? Why? Because I'm God's child. And I can say with Paul, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Far better to be in God's presence than to remain here. That's the anticipation that we need to have. And as we look at this man, who God said, "You will see my consolation." And he says, "I now can depart in peace." By faith, you and I see God's consolation. By faith, we see all that he has promised and all that he has fulfilled. Are you prepared to depart in peace? Let's pray. Our Father in God, we do praise you and thank you for that which you have revealed in your word. We thank you and praise you for your servants. And Father, we thank you that you, in your great mercy and love, have redeemed us by the precious blood of Christ, and you have given us the Holy Spirit, whereby we call you Father. We ask that we would understand our position as pilgrim sojourner, looking for the kingdom of God. We ask that this might be demonstrated and manifest in all that we do and say. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. To him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.